the rest of the story. Christmas Eve in Princeton, New Jersey usually fulfills the picture postcard promise of Christmas, and so it was on that one particular Christmas Eve long, long ago. Church bells pealed in the distance, a light snowfall kissed the quaint Princeton homes, the door-to-door carol singers made their way to one particular door, the home of the violinist, the gentle violinist. O little town of Bethlehem, the boys sang, how still we see thee lie. And in moments the door opened, and the gentle old violinist stood in the doorway to greet the carolers. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. The musician turned away. He turned back into the house. But shortly he reappeared, and with his violin, and there he completed a picture too intimate for a postcard, a sound too inspiring for any but this story. The great man, the gentle old musician, accompanied the midnight carolers on his beloved instrument through each verse of the age-old hymn, and then without a word to break the spell, the young people turned silently away, and the old man closed the door. At once there was only the distant pealing of the bells and the snowfall. If this true story, this real life scene from a year-long past, if it's made more wonderful, it's not because a seasoned violin was brought out of retirement for one last spontaneous recital, but because the violinist himself had the best reason of all not to celebrate the snowy Christmas scene. You see, the great genius was a Jew. So revered was he that the very presidency of Israel once could have been his. And you've not yet heard the rest of the story. Musicians will tell you that every great genius has his idol, and this violinist's idol was Mozart. In his own words, the musician described the turning point in his early musical career, and I'm quoting, I really began to learn only when I was about 13, mainly after I'd fallen in love with Mozart's sonatas. The attempt to reproduce their singular grace compelled me to improve my technique. I believe on the whole that love is a better teacher than a sense of duty. For me, at least, it certainly was. End quote. Once a friend asked the violinist to comment on modern times when the entire world might be devastated by nuclear war. What did that mean to the old man? The violinist hesitated only for a moment and then sat back and said it would mean that people would no longer hear Mozart. For him, this most deeply conveyed the end of civilization. On many occasions, he would break an hours-long chamber music session with the same observation. Mozart's music was so pure that it seemed to have been ever present in the universe, waiting to be discovered by the master. So, the great genius had an idol, and that idol was Mozart. For him, Mozart was what the world was all about. And when the violinist was offered the highest Hebraic honor, the presidency of Israel, he declined, saying that he felt unqualified for a role that involved human relations. And yet, who could have felt human warmth more deeply than a musician who worshipped Mozart, the old Jewish gentleman who serenaded Christian carolers from his last home? For him, Mozart was not a composer, but a discoverer of celestial music that lay waiting in the universe. And so when the violinist began to explore the universe, those closest to him believed that he was merely searching for what Mozart had found. For you see, this musician's idol might well have been Sir Isaac Newton. But he counted himself first a violinist. He counted himself first of all a violinist. For the musician who worshipped Mozart, the revered genius who could have been president of Israel, was the man who literally altered the meaning of infinity, hoping to discover music. Dr. Albert Einstein. And now you know the rest of the story.